Hey everybody, this is Sherry Shepherd and you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio.
What's going on? This is Wesley Jonathan from the TV show The Soul Man. Much love to Soul Prosper Radio.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
We are the Playmakers,
and you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis. Holla at you, baby.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Ooh.
Hi, I'm Tashina Arnold, and you're listening to Fred Willis on Soul Prosper Media. Awesome. Check him out.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Pepsi Riley, and you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred. Don't y'all touch that dial. There's some good stuff on here.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Ooh.
This is Ebony Dixon, the baby jumper.
Yo, this is comedian Michael Jr., and in case you didn't know, you are listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis.
Hey everybody, this is Director Joshua Pope.
Hey y'all, this is Christian Keys.
Yo, it's your boy Buffalo Hampton.
I'm Greg Ellis.
What's going on, Dallas Fort Worth? This is Lamon Rucker saying God bless you and everybody that belongs to you.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Ooh.
Hey there, this is Braylee Evans. Don't you turn that down, because I might be coming back home. All right, love y'all.
Hi, this is Bernadette Stannis, you know, Thelma from Good Times, and you're listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Fred Willis.
Hey, y'all, this is your Hattie Mae, and you listening to Soul Prosper Radio with Mr. Willis. Okay, great? Okay, great. Ooh, I love him. Okay, great? Okay.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Talking Points. I'm Fred Willis, your gracious host, and today I have with me Tanya Edwards. She is an advanced grief recovery specialist and doctoral candidate. Her company, Beyond Grieving, provides questions, answers, and hope to all who need her services, who need her information. And we're so glad to be talking with her today, especially during this coronavirus pandemic. She's going to provide some answers for us and help us discover new ways to cope with grief during this season. We know that we are grieving much more than human life. We're grieving the loss of jobs, the loss of normalcy in so many ways, and some other ways that we are grieving. And she's going to even help us identify some other things that we're grieving during this season. So come on in. Let's have a great conversation. Welcome to the show, Tanya Edwards.
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. I'm so glad to be talking with you today. Beyond Grieving is your company. And so before we get too far into the interview, go ahead and tell me a little bit about your company.
Well, Beyond Grieving is my newly established company, simply because of the trajectory of my life, that my life took when my brother passed away a few years ago, almost 4 years ago now. But it is beyond grieving, because the purpose of that is to not stay in the place of grieving. We want to get beyond that. We want to push and press and have better, healthy, whole lives. And that's exactly why I entitle it Beyond Grieving, because we don't want to get to a place of grief and just get stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it was the area in which my life went. You know, there were other things that I was doing, studying medical education, medical administration. But when my brother passed away, the Lord rerouted my direction. And I can only say that it was him, because it was nothing that I had planned to do. But what I found out is that when I went through the process of myself to get healing and wholeness myself, after I came to completion at the end, I realized that this is something that we needed to do. Also being an evangelist, I really needed to be able to present this to the body of Christ. There are a lot of things that we do in the kingdom. We can pray and we could do other things, but what we really need to do is talk about grieving. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been addressed. From my perspective, it hasn't been addressed properly.
Okay. Now, in the, you said you're an evangelist, so I'm going here in scripture, because in the body of Christ, you did identify an issue, an epidemic, if you will, that we struggle with, and that is managing grief. We mm-hmm. know that the Lord is the lifter of our heads, you know,
yes,
that's
yes,
documented
yes.
in scriptures. David After losing his son, he got up and he ate and he ended his fast. And the people knew that he ended his fast because everything changed about him, seemingly. And so grief is not really documented. We know Jesus wept. The shortest
verse. Right, we know that. The shortest verse in the Bible.
He wept, but then he raised Lazarus. And so sometimes we miss the profundity, if you will, just how profound grief is in the Bible, how pronounced it is even. You know, we see in wars where people were killed in war and the people kept fighting. They got up and kept fighting. You know, they pressed on the victory. And the message is they still won, you know, instead of saying, yeah, but they were mourning the loss of somebody very close to them. Jonathan and Saul died in the same war. You know, at the same time. So David is carrying even that that grief with him forward. So how would you talk to believers, especially right now, as we're not even able to funeralize people the same? You know, whether your church has a solemn assembly for a funeral, for a memorial service, or whether y'all dance y'all way in and dance your way out, we're not able to do that right now. So what's your word to believers right now?
Well, first of all, I want people to know, believers also, that grief is normal and natural. Mm-hmm. It's a normal and natural reaction to any loss that we experience. You know, whether it be, again, losing of a family member or loved one, or whether it be a job or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what I want you to also understand is that we can also struggle with grief because grief has a conflicting personality. When I say that grief has a conflicting personality, what I mean is this, is that we can have different feelings happening at the exact same time. For instance, you know, as you gave an example of the church and how we celebrate and things of that nature, we could be celebrating, dancing in the church, but at the same time, we're grateful because we have our health, we have our families, we're safe, we're not stressing over finances, and we definitely thank God for that. But at the same time, we're going into mourn the loss of a family member or a friend that has lost a family member. Personally, I have a pastor friend who just 3 weeks ago lost his mother to the pandemic, to the coronavirus. And then a few days after that, his uncle passed away, which was her brother. Wow. So now he has grief on top of grief, and we're unable to gather. And those are the things that we miss as a body of believers. You know, our mechanisms are going in and gathering support.
Right.
You know, we get the hugs. We love the hugs. We love the kisses. And we love the well-to-dos. We love the, you know, we're praying for you.
Right.
So what I would like the believers to know is that it's okay to not have an answer. It is okay. It is absolutely okay to not have an answer. And what you need to know also when you're dealing for the church body and for people that, you know, don't even believe or have a faith, also know that grievers don't need to be fixed. Grievers need to be heard.
Okay.
We need to be in a place to where we can hear them. We don't need to try to fix them. You know, we need to listen without criticism. We need to learn to listen without judgment and try not to analyze. Be the safe person to talk to.
Yeah.
And at the end of them talking, offer prayer, offer a hug if you're able to. But if you can't in this situation, you know, with the way Corona is set up, you know, it is counterintuitive to what we actually need as grievers.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be together. But Corona is right now, COVID-19 is right now it's causing us to be isolated, which is definitely not what you need. Offer prayer. And if there's something that you need to say, you know, because, you know, body of believers, we like to be there. We like to have an answer. We like to give to Jesus quote. Don't say it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
We hear that 1,000 times, you know, or don't say that, hey, they're in a better place, you know, or that whole scripture that we get a lot is, well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You've heard that. I'm sure you've heard that.
Right.
You know, and most of us may know that and some may not. However, we just want to be there and to be able to listen and to be in the moment and to be present. And if you say something, if you have to say something as a listener, do something that's basically an open-ended statement. say something like, you know, I've been really thinking about you. Give them a call and say, I was just wondering, you know, if you're okay or how you're adjusting to the certain changes that you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just giving you open statements and I'm not requiring you to give me an answer, because what you'll find out is when you give an open statement, such as I've just been thinking about you, or I just wanted to know how you're adjusting to the sudden changes, they're going to talk. Yes. Which again puts you in a position to be in the moment with them.
Yeah.
When you're in the moment with them, if you're face to face with them, when I say be in the moment, I mean be present. You know, put the cell phone down, no texting, no looking around to see what other company is there. Mm. Don't check your watch. Be present, because that tells the griever that you're there with them and that they matter. Any of that other stuff, looking around, checking your phone, checking your watch, that lets them know, or that can relay a message that you have somewhere else to be.
Mm.
And you don't want that. You want them to be able to be safe, to be comfortable, and to just sit in a place of safety. And when they feel like talking, you're there to hear. And when they don't, you're there to sit in silence. Sometimes a good eye-to-eye stare can be extremely powerful, much more than your words. When you don't know what to say, mm-hmm. I'm here to look at you.
Wow, I love that so much. Listen, y'all heard the rustling in the background. That was me grabbing a sheet of paper to take notes. My family recently experienced a loss. I was talking to Evangelist Edwards earlier today, and I was telling her that we just buried our oldest cousin, 2 weeks older than my own mother. And we're experiencing, it's a different kind of loss. You know, even in this season, not every death is corona related, but COVID related, I should say. But you know, we are experiencing grief because as time goes on, you know, people are passing away. Even, and I don't even laugh at this quote anymore. When Mr. Brown said it, we laughed when he said it, but people,
I know what you're saying. I know what you're trying to say.
People are dying who have never died
before.
And what that said to me the second time I heard it, because the first time I heard it, I was in stitches. I laughed that whole play. What it says to me is that death is striking closer than ever before. And for so many years, you know, death may have struck a second cousin, a third cousin, a distant relative, the neighbor across the street that you barely knew, you just waved. It's
right,
always been them, but what happens when it's us? And so that's now an issue that people everywhere are facing. You know, what happens when it's us? What happens when it's our matriarch? What happens when it's my favorite cousin, you know, that I thought we would grow old together? We ain't even 40 yet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're faced with issues like these. I want to ask you one thing, though, that you said in grief. This is going to be a really good conversation, y'all. You're listening to Talking Points. I'm Fred Willis. I'm talking to Tanya Edwards of Beyond Grieving. You said something earlier. You said, as far as grief goes, I love when you said grievers don't need to be fixed, they need to be heard. I love that. But then you said it's okay to not have an answer. But isn't Jesus the answer? That's
in the church world.
So
that is a rhetorical question. Yeah, yeah.
Rhetorical
Jesus
question.
Is the answer. You know, but I'm gonna be honest with you. Let me go here with you for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend who lost her daughter in August of last year, and that had nothing to do with COVID.
Yeah.
She lost her daughter. Her daughter was only 23, maybe. I'm guessing 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a minister of music.
Mm-hmm.
She's a minister of music. She's an amazing worshiper. In that moment, she didn't want to hear anything about Jesus. She didn't want to hear anything about God. She was struggling with her faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because as believers, you know, as we have a tendency to want to present strong, which is a myth that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when I went through my studies to learn there are several myths that we deal with, whether we're in the body of Christ or whether we're not, whether whatever it is that you believe in, there are several myths that we believe in. And one of those myths is to be strong for other people. But if I'm being strong for other people, who's being strong for me?
True.
Mm-hmm. So she didn't want to hear the whole Jesus is, you know, she's healed and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, she knew Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
She just was like in her moment and she did the exact opposite of what we were supposed to do. And that's isolate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she was very, very honest about it. She was very honest about where she was. She was very honest about her feelings. And the thing that I loved about what she did is, and the one thing that I will say is, when you understand what you're feeling, it helps you understand what you need.
Yes. Mm.
When you're able to identify what it is you're feeling, put a voice to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we don't put a voice to it and we become angry. And it's not that you're angry, it's because you have an unvoiced question and you don't know how to verbalize it. So when you're able to sit and talk, and that's what talking does, you know, one of the things that, you know, we talked about earlier was coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that? Talking is definitely a coping mechanism because it allows you to get the support you need. And again, it goes back to me saying, you know, if they're talking, just be the listener.
Yes.
You know, and then also, you know, slow down and take deep breaths. When you're doing that, it allows you to refocus.
Mm.
It allows you to be present in your own moment. A lot of times we want to numb ourselves and, you know, become desensitized to the present. Oh, this is not happening.
Yeah.
And it's not a level of denial because there, first of all, let me say this, and it's probably going to surprise a lot of your listeners and you as well. There are no stages to grief.
Mm. Okay.
So it allows you to be present in your moment. It allows her to allow you to refocus. And then also, when time is permissible, when it's permitted, you know, think about something humorous. Think about your loved one in a good light, you know, that's going to make you laugh a little bit to lighten the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's okay. It's okay to laugh. You know, that's a natural process. And also go for a walk. Those are coping mechanisms that you can do. Go for a walk. It allows you to relieve some stress, bring about a level of calm, and in the midst of your confusion,
mm-hmm.
because you have a lot of questions for God. And while you're walking, you're talking and you're asking God questions. And the funny thing is that God, when God answers, he doesn't necessarily answer the way we want him to answer, or he does. His answers don't look like what we're looking for them to
right.
look, or come the way we're expecting them to come.
Right.
But all of those coping mechanisms helps us get through the process. But beyond grieving, the job is to help you process proper.
Okay. Wow. Listen, y'all, I feel like I'm in a session right here. So y'all just come right on along with me. I'm getting help. So y'all are getting help by proxy. And I think this is also revolutionizing the grief process. You say there are no steps to it. And that's something that we would also probably need a whole other show to discuss. But I do love how you're presenting all of this, because these are very practical steps. And I know not everybody listening is a believer. And so I understand that coping with grief and that mm-hmm. moving beyond grief is something that all of us need to do, whether you're a faith person or not.
Right.
So I love the practicality of these, you know, even forcing yourself to revisit humor. You know, we've all done something to make somebody laugh. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, if it's Meemaw or whatever, it's Big Mama, Madea, you know, mm-hmm. maybe it wasn't mm-hmm. funny. She wasn't trying to be funny, but it was funny. You know,
yeah, that's funny,
she was
right?
cooking and her teeth came out. Whatever.
Something like that.
It's
right.
It's a memory, you know, that brings you another emotion besides sadness.
Besides sadness, hurt and pain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. So something else you said to me that kind of got me thinking, that you are, and I love this conversation. I don't want to move away from it just yet, if you don't mind. Gosh, wow, this is just so heavy. I hope y'all are enjoying this. I'm talking with Tanya Edwards of Beyond Grieving, and we're talking about grief during the season of the coronavirus. You know what, before we move on, let's go ahead and talk about that. We are not able to gather anymore or as we used to. And mm-hmm. as we've already established uh-huh. in this conversation, coming together is a coping mechanism, having someone to lean on. Uh-huh. Especially if it's a person who you know have made an impact, a significant impact on maybe the family, maybe the community,
yeah,
especially in the church. We know in the Church of God in Christ, there have been as many as at one time they counted up to 30 leaders that passed away. And these
yes.
are leaders, y'all, important
yes.
figures in the church and church administration that passed away that will not have, as we know, formerly knew, a national ceremony like we knew. Okay, the long
right.
drawn out ceremony that the church plans, not even the family.
Yes.
They have at least 10 of those to do. 10, 20, 25, I don't know, 30. I don't know who all it was, you know, that passed away, but I do know they were leaders. They were important
right,
people.
Right.
They were important figures. Yeah, so they won't figures. Even, you uh-huh. know, or if they do it, it's just going to be a memorial service. And, you know, I'm going to be honest. Right. The saints respond differently to memorial services than we do funerals. We need a casket there. We need a body in the box.
Right.
Because it's just different when we're looking at pictures. You know what? Let's go ahead and talk about that, because that is kind of what I'm getting at. Even when we do come together, it's not going to be the same. So how do we process these very raw emotions? Now, I mean, they're gone. I mean, you know, there's nothing that we can do about it. Uh-huh. Some of these funerals have gone on with, I mean, I've seen locally, there's not even a notice in the newspaper, you know. And so to cite another comedian, Ricky Smiley, when he said, "Ain't nobody told me nothing," you know. And so there's the other compounding element of surprise, you know, when you go looking for them and they're not there. You go to find out about them, right. And you see a post on Facebook saying, "I miss you," and you said, "Well, I didn't know they were gone." And on top of that, I didn't even know there was a funeral. Oh, it was one, but I couldn't have went anyway. I don't even have a program in my hand.
Right.
So talk about how we can cope with the compounding levels of grief during this season.
There are so many levels of what we're experiencing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that even though we are one body of believers, our grief is unique and individual. So no one can ever say, "I understand how you feel," because you really don't know how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my suggestions would be to do something like this. It may work, and I believe it works for my client. But on this grand scale, I think it would be absolutely phenomenal as a memorial. I mean, of course, you mentioned earlier that, you know, we grieve differently or we celebrate differently when there's a body and versus when there's a memorial. You know, we want the whole nine yards, you know, when we're having that celebration.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do a memorial, even if you don't, this is what I would suggest. And there was one word that you said that it stuck out to me. You may have just said it because it's one of your, you know, common words, but you said significant.
Mm-hmm.
The word was significant you used. And what I'm going to suggest is that we write a significant emotional statement or statement about the individual that's passed on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say you write it in a letter form or you make the phone call to the loved one of the deceased and you share with them a significant emotional statement about their loved one, or you put it on paper and you send to them, this is going to help you get closure, and it's going to help the grievers feel so much a level of warmth and honor that you even thought of them enough or that person enough
mm-hmm.
to share your heart feelings. And when I say significant emotional statement, what I mean is this, we have a tendency to have emotions, undelivered communication. And something significant would be on the positive scale is for church world would be like, you know, Mother so-and-so, you know, she taught me when I was in Sunday school. She was a phenomenal teacher. And what she taught me impacted my life till this day. I can still remember how she trained me to learn this verse. Mm-hmm. It stuck with me and it guided my life. Or a friend, I could just say, you know what? I was having a bad day. And when she came across my world, she left me in a better place. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to know that they leave you in a better place than when they met you, and their aura, the way they presented themselves, they carried such a positive God conscious about them that they made me feel better about what I was going through, and they made me see things differently, or they changed my perspective of something. Or she was a really good listener. Mm-hmm. He was a really good listener. Just listening to me, you know, when I needed a hug, they came by or allowed me to meet them for lunch, or you know what, they just make me laugh all the time. But I just wanted to share that with you to get that off. And I wish I would have said to them how much they impacted my life. But because I can't say it to them face to face right now, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it to you via letter or over the phone. And by me putting a voice to it, it makes me feel better. And I can get that sigh of relief, like, ooh, there's a piece of closure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did something to say a goodbye, in a sense, using a significant emotional statement.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Have you guys ever heard of that? A significant emotional statement. That's something I'm hearing for the first time. And after these messages, we're going to continue this conversation talking about the impact of making a significant emotional statement in a written form. All right, after these messages, we'll be back to continue the conversation with Tanya Edwards of Beyond Grieving. Stay right here. You're listening to Soul Prosper Radio Talking Points.
A social distancing tip.
Keeping your distance from others is important in slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are some fun things to do alone. Read a book. Take a walk. Unpack your suitcase from that trip you took last September. Paint a self-portrait. Catch up on a TV series. Do a puzzle. Remember, we should all stay home to lower the risk for everyone. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
One day, in the blink of an eye, life as we know it will have to transition. And in that time, it is imperative that your family can aid in the transition with a peace of mind. At Tree of Life Funeral Directors, Andrew D. Sims Kirkland, Daryl R. Davis I, and Paris E. Lowry bring together more than 50 years of combined experience to offer traditional and non-traditional burials and cremations. At Tree of Life, you'll be able to choose from wood and metal caskets, burial vaults, full-colored funeral programs, memorial baskets, cremation sculptures, and much more. We also provide pre-need and at-need services, Texas Notary Services, free for seniors, and accept various forms of payment. For more information, call 817-451-LIFE. That's 817-451-5433. Or visit us at treeoflifefd.com or at facebook.com/treeoflifefd. And you can even stop by at 1051 South Hanley Drive in Fort Worth, Texas. Tree of Life Funeral Directors, service of distinction and class with integrity of ages past.
Hey everybody, it's Fred here, and I want to take a moment to talk financial solutions. If your financial future is not as secure as you want or need it to be, I want to introduce you to Keith Squalls of the K. Allen Financial Group. He's already helped numerous clients eliminate debt and even helped them pay off their mortgages years ahead of schedule. It's not too good to be true. It's too good to miss. Give him a call today. Tell him I sent you. The number to call is 877-888-6322. That's 877-888-6322. All right, everybody, it's time to get back into this conversation with Tanya Edwards of Beyond Grieving. She, in the last segment, she was telling us about the impact of making a significant emotional statement, what that is, what we should do, at putting it together. Of course, you want to write it out, and how it should make us feel when we do it. So listen, in this segment, thank you guys for listening to the first segment. In this segment, we're going deeper. I'm asking her all the questions that I want you to have answers to going forward. We've got so much to address during this season as we face this coronavirus pandemic. The way we memorialize people has changed. And in that, the way we grieve their loss has changed as well. So I'm asking all these questions because my hope is to provide you with as many answers as I can. And if you don't get answers today, we're going to give you information to get in touch with Mrs. Edwards, so you can talk to her yourself. That's really the goal, because, you know, once you realize that you have a need for healing, the best thing to do is to pursue it. And so that's what she's here to do today. She's going to introduce us to a few other things. You know, she's just a wealth of information that I'm so glad to have had the opportunity to speak with. All right. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation, continuing the segment and question about making a significant emotional statement. Now, that's an idea that I think we should employ, whether, you know, there is a funeral or not, because so many times, and I know down here, I say down here in Texas, over here, you also in the South in Florida. Down here in Texas, we are getting to the point of almost eliminating remarks at services and relegating them wholly to the wake service. And so, you know, it's almost almost a point of conflict that some of these services, where the officiant gets up and they said, if you didn't say it yesterday, if you didn't say it during their lifetime, don't worry about trying to say it today.
Right.
You know, and while we try to eliminate the service crashers, you know, the people who want to hijack the remarks, comments, and sing a song or preach a sermon, you know, you also kind of close the door on people making that significant emotional statement in the 2 minutes allotted, right? So I think that that's something that we should do, whether there's a service or not. And these tips that you are sharing with us are so rich. I'm not even in a rush to end this conversation because I'm learning so much. I'm learning how to handle my own emotions, you know, how to handle my own grief, you know, grief that's ongoing. You know, it's I said this when my aunt passed away. I said grief is the cost of loving people. You love them and you don't want to let them go. You know, when you have to let them go, you're left with grief. I even experienced that. And we went to after my cousin's service, we went to my aunt's grave. And as we pulled up to the garden where she is buried, there was a rush of emotion that just kind of took over me. And I was like, man, I thought I was kind of doing better. And that happens.
And it's called a roller coaster emotional energy.
Oh, well,
that's exactly what it is. A roller coaster of emotional energy.
Yeah.
Because the one moment you're crying and laughing and the other minute you're yelling and screaming or whatever that may be. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But if you don't mind, I just wanted to say something.
Yes.
Well, you said the word let go.
Mm-hmm.
And with Beyond Grieving and in my studies,
mm-hmm.
we don't let go.
Okay.
We change the relationship.
Hmm. Expound on that. Go right ahead.
when I said you do your significant emotional statement, you do your letter. When I take my clients through their journey toward, it's the journey from discovery to recovery. Mm-hmm. When I take my clients on their journey and mm-hmm. I walk with them through the journey, I have them at the end to do a letter. Whether I'm doing a one-on-one or whether I'm doing a group session.
Mm-hmm.
And in our group sessions, we actually have private paired partners because everything is confidential.
Right.
So when I'm doing the one-on-one, I have them do a letter. I have them do their letter. And in the letter, it says it's a goodbye letter because you get to say everything that you wanted to say. And that goes from saying I apologize for this, or I forgive you for that,
okay.
or forgive me for this, and I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, but I want you to know that I appreciated the time, blah, 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 that you spent with me. All of that, you know, that's your recovery component.
Hmm.
So what I do is I put that in your letter, I have you put that in your letter, because now you're changing your relationship from a physical to a memory.
Okay.
And you want to have a pleasant memory. You're never going to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to just change the dynamic of your relationship.
Hmm.
So at the end, you do say goodbye. Mm-hmm. But when you're saying goodbye, you're saying goodbye to that physical relationship, but you're ever holding on to them in your heart and in your mind.
Yeah.
You're changing the dynamic of the relationship. So you're never letting them go. You're just releasing them in that form. Like, again, you said, when you're used to reaching out for someone or going for someone and they're no longer there.
Yeah.
That's a part of grief. That is a part of your grieving because you're reaching out for the familiar and the familiar is not there.
Yeah.
So you're changing that aspect of reaching out to the familiar, and the way you're going to do with that relationship is you're going to internally draw from the memories that you guys have stored up together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never letting you go. I'm always holding on. It's just like with my brother. I had a level of completion when he passed away. But I was also challenged in my faith. And when I went through my training, I learned that I didn't have to release him or let him go. I just had to change our relationship.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Now, I love what you're saying. And I have a question now because of that. How does that impact our relationships with the people that we still have with us?
By impact, you mean...
Because I'm hearing you say that, and I think sometimes we wait to say that stuff, that we hold on to even the appreciation that we have for people sometimes because we just don't see ourselves being without them. And so in the grief process, you know, when we sit down with you, yeah, we can write it out, but there are some things that we really should say. There are some opportunities to show gratitude that we really should take while we have them. Is that's right, isn't it?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct. You're on point. And of course, you're talking about before you have to get to the point of having grief recovery sessions.
Yes.
what we would. That's where I'm learning to come more vocal within the communities.
Okay.
Showing people and having workshops and letting them know when I get a gathering together, mm-hmm. this is what it's important. It's yeah. important to say what you need to say mm. when you need to say it. Because yeah. again, scripture told us tomorrow's not promised. Or, yeah. you know, today is just, you know, because God's mercy and grace. That he's not consumed us. We're here, mm-hmm. but we don't know what next hour. I could be talking to you right now. In the next hour, we could be gone. Lord, we don't know.
Yeah.
But it's important to say what we need to say when we need to say it.
Yeah.
Again, my clients, they learn that after the fact. So going forward in their life, they're able to use it, because what we need to say is, I take them through the process of saying something like this. We go through the whole process of who passed away in your life. And they go, whatever they say. What did they mean to you mm-hmm. as a significant emotional comment? And then I would say something like, did you ever share that with them? Mm. Why didn't you share that with them?
Mm-hmm.
And again, they go back with answers that you said. You know, because I never thought that they were going to leave this early, or I never saw myself without them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were supposed to be in for the long haul.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that when they dropped me off, they were going to get in a car accident. Something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I'm trying to get in my community, and as far as broad as I possibly can, with these workshops, to letting people know that it's okay to say how you feel,
mm-hmm.
and that's not a sign of weakness.
Right.
It's okay to be emotional. It's okay to mm-hmm. show emotion.
Yeah.
And me letting you know how I feel doesn't mean that I'm crying about it. I just want you to know that, you know what, you came by today. We laughed so much today. I appreciate you for the laughter.
Mm-hmm.
Just those little things.
Yeah.
Those little things, you know, how we say in the church, we'll give them their flowers while they live.
That's it.
That's exactly what you're doing. You're giving them their flowers right now. So you're letting people know that when I'm with you, I am present in the moment with you. I'm not trying to hurry to get to the next place. So I am valuing the time that you've given me. And I hope you value the time that I give you, because there are other things that we could choose to do, but I choose to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm here, I'm putting the phone down. I'm stopping texting. I'm going to have a conversation with you, because I need to know what's going on with you. A lot of times you can be with somebody and not know what they're thinking, and you're right in the same place because you're not communicating.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to learn to put our words to work for it.
Mm. Okay. Wow. I love it. I mean, we are learning so much today. There is something that kind of differentiates you that I want to get into next. I think we covered the grief aspect of what you do and how you help people cope with grief, but I want to now move a little bit into a little more about you. You are a specialist and not a counselor. Talk to me about that difference.
I am a specialist and not a counselor. Basically what we do with my institute is that we deal with the heart and not the head.
Mm-hmm.
Grief is emotional. A lot of counselors, they want to connect all of the brain stuff, which is okay, which is really good. We need the brain stuff to work properly.
Right.
But if the brain stuff is working properly and our heart is broken, we're still hurting.
Hmm.
As a specialist, as a grief recovery specialist, I am working with mending your heart and letting you realize that you do have a heart. What is it? Who was it in the Wizard of Oz? The Tin Man, he didn't have a heart.
Yeah.
He wanted to discover the fact that he had a heart.
Mm-hmm.
And by me saying that, I'm just getting revelation. The Tin Man didn't have a heart, and his outer surface was hard.
Oh, wow.
His outer surface is hard. So sometimes we present hard.
Yeah.
And we as a culture have a tendency to not want to talk to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We pray about it and leave it.
Yeah.
But when you have a deal with a specialist such as myself, and we get to the core of the matter, dealing inside your heart,
mm-hmm.
then you're able to become more pliable to being fixed. Not necessarily fixed, but healed, healthy, and whole the way God would want you to be.
Right.
We're not just dealing with your head, because when your heart lines up, your mind is going to line up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to do what's in your heart, and your head is going to connect with that. As a specialist, we deal with the emotional aspect. So counselors deal with the we're not going to analyze it. We're not going to give you any of that. We're not going to tell you how you feel. I'm not here to tell you what to feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to guide you in your feeling and let you again go from discovery to recovery. this is what I'm feeling. Now, as we journey there, as a specialist, I'm just here to guide you through the process, not tell you what to do.
Okay. Excuse me for saying it. That's really different. that really is because I think we have we have this idea that we have to be fixed all the time.
Yeah.
I have to eventually get to the right answer. And we do so without stopping long enough to feel what we're feeling. And I know this extends beyond, you know, the realm of Christianity. So if you're listening and you're kind of lost on this stuff, you're not a person of faith, that's okay. We do have room in this conversation for you as well. But in the Bible, in Hebrews, in I think it's chapter 5, when Paul says we don't have a high priest who hadn't been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, you know. And so we have even that witness that, you know, even the Lord has gone through this, that it's a real thing. What you're feeling is a real thing, at whatever point you're feeling it.
You know, it is absolutely a real thing. And I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
It is absolutely a real thing. And a lot of times we are, you know, whether you're in the king, whether you're in Christendom or not, a lot of times we have the tendency to be dishonest. A lot, just like this, simple, just a simple, so how are you doing? And the first thing we rattle off is, oh, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true. I'm hurting, but I don't know how to put a voice to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to call it, because we've been trained to be quiet about it.
Mm.
We've been trained to isolate. I mean, we've been trained from childhood, you know, we've been trained from childhood that, you know, don't cry about it. It's okay. It's going to be fine. You know, and if you're going to act like that, go to your room. Isolation. We've been trained in those areas. So as adults, guess what? When we experience a loss or, you know, disappointment, we're quiet about it. Oh, I'm not going to cry in front of her. I'm mm-hmm. not going to cry in front of them. It's okay. That's another myth.
Right.
You know, grieving alone, that's not where you need to be. Isolation. Being strong. And this is what I call being strong. Presenting an Academy Award winning behavior. You're waiting for the Oscar because you want somebody to say, wow, they're doing really good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On the outside, externally, but on the inside, you're ripped apart.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you're presenting well.
Mm.
And you just go forward, but I'm not okay. Mm. And it's okay to be not okay.
Mm-hmm.
I need to talk. But when I tell you that I'm not okay, I'm not asking you to answer or fix me.
Okay.
I just want you to hear me. Let me talk. This is what I do with my clients. I let them talk without interruption.
Right.
I go in with a question and I give them a span of 20, 30 minutes. And I just let them talk and I let them know, this is what I'm going to do. Today is going to be your day.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to sit with me and I'm going to ask you, present you with a question. I'm going to put it on the table. Or if you've done your homework, you already know what's going to be. So now that we open up the door, it's your time to talk to me. And to acknowledge the fact that I'm present with you, I'm going to give you a head nod on occasion. I'm going to look you in your eye and I may giggle a little bit. I may smile if you say something funny, but I'm not going to say a word, because a lot of times when we inject our thought into their communication, we shift their train of thought.
Right, right.
And they don't get to a place of completion with what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times, if you've ever noticed, they will end up taking over your conversation when you're trying to get to them how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, yeah, I remember when, oh yeah, my mom went through that same thing, and then blah, blah, blah.
Right.
They don't let you get to your point of, I just wanted you to hear me.
Yeah.
And now it's become about you and it's not about me anymore. So in fact, you're not really here for me. You're sharing with me now.
Right.
What's going on with you? So that's kind of the whole process of what specialists do. We sit and we listen. We don't sit and write. We sit and listen.
Okay. Now I want to say this too, because as we are sharing, as I'm hearing from you, ways for us to help, I also want to differentiate the delineation between being a friend in that space and being a specialist, because there are some things as a friend we just can't do. And while she's, you know, telling us to help and helping us to be present in the moment with them, We also need to recognize when our friends and our family need a specialist.
Absolutely.
You know, because there are just some things we cannot do. We don't have answers to what may, we may not have the answer to the how you're doing.
Right.
We do want to be there. We do want to help. We do want to be there. You know, we want to be present. We'll sit and listen, but we may, I understand some of y'all listening, we may not have that answer. And as she said, even the person that served in church, served on the staff as a music minister, she did not want to hear scripture during the time that she was hurting. And we got to make room for that. We got to be okay with that. She wasn't leaving the faith. She wasn't backsliding. She wasn't turning back, like Paul says in Hebrew 10. She wasn't doing that. She didn't even, she just wanted answers. You know, and sometimes there are no answers and you need space for that. So that's why we're introducing you to an advanced grief recovery specialist such as Tanya Edwards. Now, you're in Florida. I'm in Texas. What if somebody wants to reach out to you? Do you do phone consultations? Is it video chatting like Zoom, Skype, or anything else like that? How can we reach you, get in touch with you?
Yes, I actually do. I do phone, and I am prepping up and gearing for Zoom. So within the next few weeks, I will have my online Zoom, and we can do face-to-face Skyping and all of that good stuff. So I am global.
Oh, I love it.
So you can definitely reach me at my business line. I have an email address, and my website is on the way. So yes, it's coming.
Now, what if we need to reach you before your website is completed? How can we reach out to you now?
I have my email address, and that is simply beyondgrieving@gmail.com. That would be, again, beyondgrieving@gmail.com. And my number, you can actually reach me. I don't have an 800 number just yet. That's in the works, but my business number is 352-410-9344. Again, that is 352-410-9344, Beyond Grieving.
Wow. And I want to thank you so much for being so liberal with your time today and allowing me space to ask these questions, because I do realize that time with you is not always free. I do want to just say that you are a specialist. You're a trained specialist. You are board certified and a doctoral candidate at that. So I'm really grateful for your time today. Before I leave you today, I do want to make this point that grief is not only in response to losing a person. There are jobs that we lose that we grieve over. Moving, you know, you may grieve the move. There may be grief of having to relocate, especially if it's not your choice to relocate. Something you said that I was just blown away by, that even our children may be grieving, grieving the loss of day-to-day schooling. So I want you, and all of us in some way have lost something due to this coronavirus pandemic. It may not have been a big loss, a bad loss. You know, maybe you just lost your normal schedule every day. You know, something as small as that, but it has an effect that needs to be addressed. So just talk to us about those different areas of loss and how we can grieve and then cope and grow from them.
Well, okay. There are over 40 types of grief that we're aware of. A lot of times we don't label them as grief. Mm-hmm. You have a child that's grieving right now the loss of connecting with their kindergarten class, and you have the seniors that are graduating but aren't able to graduate together. So there's another type of loss. And then with COVID, you know, for me personally, I could say that I'm a little annoyed and grieving in a sense that I can't make my Friday lunches with my girlfriend. And that was a regular thing. But what we can do is that pick up the phone, you know, don't text. And do not text, let them hear a voice, you know, hear a voice. Because when you hear a voice, it helps you process. You could hear the tone in the voice better than you can read a text. And they could tell you that I'm fine, but you could hear it. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. And you need to reach out a little bit more with that. And if your children are behaving in a certain way, that is not accustomed to their normal behavior, mm-hmm. understand that that's a level of grief that your children are experiencing. They just don't know how to put words to the behavior. So you as the adult would say, oh, you're acting up or you're being whiny today.
Yeah.
It's that they have an overwhelming something is happening to them and they can't tell you, they can't express it. So learn your children's behavior. Identify that, you know, this is not normal. So this is what's happening in their world. You know, they may not be, you know, all caught up on what's happening with the coronavirus, but they know that they're experiencing a level of loneliness and a level of isolation where I can't be with my friends. And then they ask questions as to why. Be prepared to answer them in a way that they can understand, you know, saying something simply as, well, you're unable to be with Bobby today because, you know, we want to make sure that not only you, but you and your family, but Bobby's family stays healthy and safe as well. Wouldn't you want that for Bobby? Wouldn't you want to see your friend again and that he's smiling and you guys get to enjoy the playground again? And they're going to be like, yeah, I want to see Bobby again. Well, let's take some time away right now and let them be healthy. You stay healthy. And when we get together, we can have a great time.
Okay.
And then they're happy with that. They're okay with that. And then allow your kids to pick up the phone and call their friend or Zoom with them. Mm. Put them on FaceTime together. Let them see that they haven't lost a friend. You know, because now they're thinking, maybe I did something wrong. Bobby doesn't want to talk to me. It's not that.
Right.
You never know what children are processing.
Right.
But when I say, you know, to study your kids, make sure you know your kids, the mannerisms and their behaviors, you're able to identify levels of grief that they can't put words to, but also do the same thing for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Monitor yourself. You know, when you're sensing something that's a bit overwhelming, that's when you want to take the time to implement your coping mechanism. You know, pick up the phone yourself and talk and say, I just need to talk. I don't really want anything, but this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And I just to tell you, but you want to listen or speak without judgment.
Right.
You know, okay to feel, don't tell me not to feel bad, because that's a natural process of disappointment and loss.
Yeah.
Feeling sad and bad and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't always be happy about losing a job or losing a friend. So the natural process for me is to, you know, I'm hurting and I need to get this out. Or you, again, go back to what I said, your coping mechanisms. Take a walk, take some deep breaths, be in the moment, find your place again. Like, what is really going on with me?
Yeah.
Identify it. And when you understand what's going on with you, you know how you can get the help. And then you put a finger on it. I'm kind of fidgety today because I'm annoyed I can't get together with my girlfriends for lunch. You know what I do? Let's Zoom. Let's get together. Let's do something FaceTime.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, let's do our book group FaceTime. We could do a book group FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
We could sit and do it. We just can't touch physically, but we can touch and we can connect emotionally. We can connect, you know, we can have that connection, that soul connection to where we're still a unit. We just can't touch physically. We
right.
can embrace and I can hear your voice. And also, don't deny how you're feeling. Be how you're feeling. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with where you are. Again, don't portray to be strong. Don't pretend to be anything that you're not. And know that there are no stages to grief. Your grief is unique and individual. And understand too that if you don't put a voice to it, you're trying to bury it, but grief has the ability to change you for the better or for the worse.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does that, and when it changes you for the better, you learn who you are. And like it did much for me, it allowed me to say, hey, I could be a force to help other people. I can be a vehicle to help other people. So I went pursued the study of this whole grief recovery method. But when you have incomplete grief, unaddressed pain, you turn into something that you don't even recognize and you don't want to
mm-hmm.
be, because now you've not addressed your pain. You're not addressed what's really happening with you. So when you're continuously trying to internally silence something that needs to be externally voiced, you're causing more and more pain to your life. And it changes you. It changes everything about you, inwardly and outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
So again, identify yourself, know your movement, know your patterns of behaviors. Same with your friends. How can I be a friend when I can be a friend or when I need to suggest you see a specialist? No, be honest. Don't be afraid to tell them the truth. You know, today you're not quite here. Where are you? And I can't answer that for you. You know, that I have a thing with my friends, and I literally say this regularly. Where do you go when you black out? Because you're not present with me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know things like that. And that's how we're being a good friend. Now I'm suggesting that you get help.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what I have.
Okay. Well, let me. I thought I was going to be done after that, but I got to be honest. You said it again, so I need to pick your brain on this. You said that there are no stages to grief. Please unpack that for me. You know, this is like international news headlines here, because for so many years, we have subjected ourselves to the five known stages of grief that have been presented. So talking with you today, you've said it a number of times. I might as well ask you what you mean when you say that. And help, please help us understand that when you say there are no stages of grief, each of us are unique. Please help me understand that.
Okay, that's an absolutely fantastic question. I'm glad you did ask. There is a great bit of confusion about grief and its stages. And I'm along with a number of people in the world, I thought along the same lines that there are five levels and stages of grief. You know, so you're expecting to hit these stages at a certain time. Mm-hmm. But as I went through my certification, what I learned was that when that study was done, it was actually done by the work of one of our doctors, one of the doctors, actually her name is Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And when Dr. Kubler-Ross did this study and it ended up being known as the five stages of grief, it was actually misinterpreted because what she did her study on was the stages of a dying individual after being diagnosed with an illness. So hear me clearly.
Okay.
The five stages of grief were done on a dying individual after being diagnosed with a terminal illness. We, on the other hand, have not been diagnosed, and we're not dying from a terminal illness. So therefore, we don't have the five levels or five stages. And again, with that dying person, she did an extensive study research, and her list came out as there was, the first thing was denial. The doctor said you have this, and you deny the fact that you have that. And then when you get past that, you get into the anger, like, why is it me, and blah, blah, blah. And then you go into bargaining, whether you're bargaining with God or you're bargaining with the doctors or whatever it is you're doing. And I'm certain you've heard this before. God, if you heal me of this, I'll never do blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
God, if you do this for me, I promise I'll go to church every Sunday. If you get me out of this, you know, so now we're bargaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we realize that the bargaining isn't working because we're continually getting the reports from the doctor of your prognosis is getting worse, then we get into a level of depression. Now we're saddened by this is what's happening, and it doesn't seem like it's changing. And then we get to that final stage of, okay, I'm accepting it, but I'm not really accepting it, but it's nothing that I can do with it at this point. So there you have your five stages of a dying individual. We're living, but now we're living with grief.
Mm-hmm.
Grief that follows divorce, death, or any other significant emotional loss, it should not be regarded as in terms of stages. Her work enlightened the process of what it looked like from a dying individual. Again, it was misinterpreted. And again, I will say it is unique and individual, and it cannot be a collective study. Everyone will not experience the same thing. But there is something, however, there is a common thing that we do all experience at certain points, but they're not called stages. We will experience common responses such as an individual may have a reduction of concentration, like they lack concentration. Like, for instance, after my brother passed away, I noticed that I was doing this a lot. I would get up to go into a room to get something, and then I get to the room and I don't remember why I came in here. So you're forgetting what you're doing and why you're doing it, only because you have other things that's clouding your mind, and you're trying to press through the fog to do something or go about to maintain a level of normalcy. But because that thing is so pressed on your mind, it's foggy. So yeah, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna do this. But then I get there and I'm like, why am I here? What am I doing? So then I have to really press to be in the moment. Or we may sense a level of numbness. And I think I may have mentioned this early on in our interview. Numbness is to which, you know, I don't want to feel anything right now. Everything hurts. You know, the news of my loved one dying, my girlfriend's son, and this is a true story, one of my best girlfriend's son committed suicide 2 years ago. And she was numb. She operated as a robot. You could see it was very visible. So she numbed herself and she shut down her senses. So we all experienced that. And for me personally, again, going back to when my brother passed away, I experienced a disruption in my sleep. I became, I had insomnia. Like, I have extenuating insomnia. It just goes on forever. There are days that I'm completely exhausted, but then there are days that I still operate in the level of insomnia. Like this morning, I knew we had an interview today. I went to bed at 4:30 this morning.
Wow.
Insomnia. And then we have a change in a lot of things. And then I mentioned to you that you developed a common response because you talked about you thought you had let someone go, a relative go, and you just, you know, a gamut of emotion just kind of overflowed you. Well, that was called roller coaster emotion, a level of roller coaster emotion. So we're all going to experience those, and sometimes you call them ebbs and flows. It comes and goes. So there's no stages, but there are common responses. Because you have a stage, and it's like, okay, so for 30 days, I'm going to do this stage, and for 30 days, I'm going to do that's not even logical. Because time, contrary to popular opinion, does not heal all wounds.
Yeah, I found that out myself. Yeah, time. I thought that we're going on 3 years this summer, and was confused by it. Yeah, to the point that I didn't even want to look at the headstone for a few minutes.
I understand that.
Yeah,
that is definitely.
I said, where is this coming from? You know, I was like, I want to feel it, but I don't know what's going on.
That's absolute normal behavior. That is a normal behavior process because you're going to, again, and for you, it's going on 3 years, you know. For me, you know, because I understand where I am, mm-hmm. and because I'm a specialist in this field, I understand what I need to get myself better. You say 3 years. You mentioned something very, very matter of fact right there. For me, my brother passed away 4 years ago. I have yet to go to the cemetery, to the gravesite.
Oh, wow.
October 30th will be 4 years for him to have been gone. Mm-hmm. I have yet to go out there because for me, I already know that it's going to put a level of, this is final. I already know it's final,
yeah.
But to see it,
right.
It's going to be final for me. Mm-hmm. So, but I understand my process and I'm absolutely okay with it because I understand it is unique and I'm individual in my process.
Okay. I love what you're saying, and we are way over our time, normal time, and I hope y'all are enjoying this extended edition of Talking Points. We got so much to talk about because grief is something that we don't talk about enough. We have not unpacked it. It's just how deep it is, just how broad it is. It's such a broad subject, and it's, with something so unique, it's hard to touch every angle in one setting. I want to ask you, this is my last question. I got to stop because I would just keep you on the line all day long because I'm actually learning. This is more so learning than it's much more learning than an interview. Last question. You said you're a specialist and not a counselor. Can a person see a specialist and a counselor at the same time?
Yes, because now you're getting your heart and your head fixed together.
Okay. Because I'm exactly. As you were talking, I was like, yeah. And see, that right there is that's an issue that somebody's got to deal with, the mind. Now you're dealing with the heart, but what about that mind? See,
yeah.
So we can see a specialist and a counselor at the same time.
At the same time, absolutely, because we're gonna work you from two different angles.
So that we become whole again.
So you can become whole.
Okay.
Be thou made whole.
Come on now. and when that's presented in scripture, Jesus is asking the man, wilt thou be made whole? That's an issue that's pressing in our community, you know, in our various communities represented even on this call, male, female, black, Christian, non-Christian, all of that. Wilt thou be made whole? Go ahead.
You just said something very, very, very good right there, because you said it was in a question form that Jesus asked me, will you be made whole?
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to say to you, like, again, time does not heal all wounds, but actions does.
Whoa. Okay.
You got to get up and do something about it.
You got to be intentional.
You got to be intentional. You got to want to.
Wow. I love it, man. This is just so good to me. This is one of my best episodes, and we've been We've been going a long time at this.
Praise God.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really glad that you were so gracious with your time. Tell us once again how we can get in touch with you. This is Tanya Edwards, everybody, of Beyond Grieving, Gainesville, Florida. Tell us how we can get in touch with you.
Yes, again, my email address is beyondgrieving, just like it's spelled, beyondgrieving, one word, @gmail.com. And my number, for those of you that would like to have a consultation with me, is 352-410-9344. And again, that is 352-410-9344.
I love it. She's been my very special guest today, and hopefully she will be someone who can guide you through the various emotions following loss in your life. I'm Fred Willis. She is Tanya Edwards. You've been listening to Talking Points today. If you have any questions about today's show, or if by chance you forgot how to get in touch with Beyond Grieving with Tanya Edwards, you can email me, fred@spradioshow.com. I would love to talk to you. I would love to connect you to Evangelist Edwards. And you do not have to be a person of faith to talk to her. You do not have to. This does not have to be a faith-led conversation for you. She is a specialist, and she knows how to help you address grieving in your life properly. And I would be so glad to be the conduit to do that for you. Thank you so much for your time today. You have helped all of us, and I am so glad.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for having me and allowing me the opportunity to share.
All right, you are very welcome. So until next time, you guys, I'm Fred Willis. Take care of yourselves. Love each other. Bye.